all of them could work. Not all hit the profiled age range, but all were single occupancy. She started a run on each and began to arrange them in order. She put one last on the list, male, 38, sales exec, transferred from Chicago to New York 5 months ago after a divorce. Not impossible, but unlikely. As she started on the next, her incoming beeped. Before she could retrieve it, she heard Peabody's boots.
Got her! I am so good! I'm so good, I should have coffee!
Eve just gestured to the auto chef and pulled up the data and photo. This is an old mugshot. You said no criminal.
Expunged.
Peabody programmed coffee for both of them. And since it was 84 years ago in Arkansas, it was basically poofed. Who cares, right, about a ding for possession of a few grams of coke 8 decades ago? Possession, use, and resisting. Yeah, yeah. She partied, got stoned, got busted, tried to take a swing at the officer, and did her court-directed rehab. Her parents had enough money and influence to have it all wiped.
How do you know all that?
I found an article written at the time. Gossipy. Her dad was a city councilman, and her mom's family had deep pockets. Anyway, that's her.
She's got the right coloring.
Shape of the face is close enough. Hair's wrong. Blonde. Yeah, but what do you call it? Platinum. And with a lot of roots. Add it's long and all fuzzy.
Frowning, Eve kept studying. No distinguishing marks, so no tat.
She could have gotten one later.
Yeah, she's the type.
We can say she's the type.
The clothes, Peabody. This would be years earlier than we dated the ones on Elder. This is from 1977. Did they wear the same sort of thing?
Shit, I don't know. I'm betting not.
Okay, but try this. He wasn't even born for another 9-10 years. Then you have to add a few years for him to fix a memory. Maybe it's a more adolescent memory. And he pictures her how he sees women, young women, dress.
Does that work? Or are we trying to make it work?
Eve printed out the photo and the attached gossip piece for the board.
I don't know.
Book us a conference room.
Really?
I want to set up 3 sections, one for each woman. I've got Rourke's list of properties, and I'm running the occupants. I'm going to have Jenkinson and Reinecke head out, start checking them. Let's get a room, spread this out.
I'll take care of it.
Let Jenkinson and Reinecke know I'm pulling them in.
Out of curiosity, she did a search for fashion from 1975 to 1985. Her jaw dropped.
Seriously? What's wrong with people?
She closed it off before her eyes started to twitch. Conference room B,
Peabody's voice came through the inner office comm.
I'll transfer the files.
I'll be right behind you.
On the off chance, she shot a memo to Mira.
Briefing in CRB if you have time. New data, new questions.
She turned as brisk steps came her way and waited until Officer Carmichael stood in her doorway.
Sir, we'll be writing up the results of the canvas in the 2 areas designated, but I wanted to let you know we found plenty who recognized Covino, but no one who remembered anyone who appeared to follow her or make recurring stops when she did.
Yeah, he's too careful for that. Or he blends too well.
Thanks.
People had a lot of nice things to say about her.
Yeah, I'm getting that. Sorry we couldn't find more. Even negatives are details. He cracked the faintest smile. That's the truth. Eve gathered what she needed, downed the last of the coffee, then headed to the conference room. She found Peabody already setting up, and Reinecke and Jenkinson looking hopefully at the auto chef. Jenkinson sent the hopeful look her way. Don't suppose you put any of your coffee in here, LT. Upclass the coffee, spoil the cop. Then she considered what that made her. Peabody, do that thing you do with the AC. Score! Reinecke pumped a fist in the air. Jenkinson did the report, so I familiarize myself with the Covino case. You're thinking she's this guy's number three. Lauren Elder, Eve began. Last seen May 28th, leaving Arnold's, a bar, her workplace, approximately 02:30. She read off the details while Peabody continued to set up. She moved to Anna Hobe, then began on Mary-Kate Covino when Mira came in.
I had an opening, not a wide one. Is that your coffee?
I appreciate the time. Jenkinson, get Dr. Mira some coffee.
Sit, sit.
Mira waved him down.
I have it. Don't let me interrupt.
She finished the briefing, filling in the newest data and statements. Our only suspect at this time, James Mosby, fits, but not cleanly. He left home young, then floated around New York, as far as we can tell, for a couple of years before he decided to pursue additional education and a career. Makes me wonder where and how he floated, and that's a question I'll ask him. His attachment to Covino came off very sincere. She's important to him. His attachment to his mother is illustrated by shelling out over $5.5 million in the last 16 years of her life for her care and housing. He could have chosen less expensive options for her, but he didn't.
If his mother suffered from dementia, as the director alluded, Mira said, it would have been painful for him, possibly traumatic. If she died without remembering him, without being able to say goodbye, mother to son, it may have caused a psychic break.
And he's got a replacement right under his nose, Eve finished. But why doesn't he go for her first? That's a major hitch for me. Was Elder practice? Doesn't feel like it. Eve paced in front of the board. Then there's the timing of her trip. Maybe she didn't tell him she'd planned, hoped, to stay at the jerk's place. Maybe. But it feels strange he'd wait until that night, knowing she was planning a trip. Doesn't quite gel. And the clothes. Have you seen what they wore in the late 70s, early 80s? Jenkinson snorted. How old do you think I am, boss? Mira just laughed.
I've seen pictures.
The hairstyle, the clothes he used on Elder are 20 years later, fashion-wise. His mother wouldn't have been in her 20s, but her 40s by that point. So,
you're talking yourself out of it, Mira concluded.
I'm looking at the flaws. Yeah, he's in the right age group, race. He obviously had a deep attachment to his mother, and some trauma due to her illness, prolonged, it seems, and her death. More, he lives alone, has never married or had a registered cohab. He owns a semi-detached townhome. Peabody, I have a map. Put it up on screen. Highlighted in red are the residences and workplaces of the three women. Highlighted in yellow are buildings with occupants who fit the parameters. Got a lot that fit, Jenkinson commented. Yeah, and the one in green is Mosby's townhome. Convenient, Reinecke commented. pretty damn convenient.
Yeah, it is. And it sticks out for me. He could have seen these other two women on the street, at their work. He's from the neighborhood, so others who are used to seeing him. Think nothing of it. He doesn't own a vehicle, or none is registered in his name, but he does have an up-to-date driver's license. No garage, which is a disappointment, but he's sturdy and solid, moves well. He could transfer a 115-pound woman from a vehicle at the curb to the house late at night, choose his moment.
I'd like to know more about his relationship with his parents. No siblings? Mira asked.
No, only child.
Yes, I'd like to know more.
We'll find out more. Meanwhile, detectives, I want you to pay a visit to those residences highlighted. Get inside if you can. Get a read on the occupant. Show the photos of the three women. Get a reaction.
We got it.
I'm going to take Mosby, she added. He knows me, and I can call it a follow-up. I'm going to take Rourke if he's free. Peabody, I want you to shift over to Hobe. Her time's ticking away. If we missed anything, find it. Talk to her co-workers again. Canvass the neighbors. It's been done and done, but do it again. If McNabb's free, take him with you. She checked the time. I'm authorizing OT. Let's get as much of this done tonight as we can. Peabody, shoot the map to their portables.
Already done. I'll check with McNabb and get started. Do you want to keep the room?
Yeah, let's hang on to it for now.
Good hunting.
As the others went out, Mira rose and walked to the board to stand beside Eve.
I see why you're looking at him and why you question yourself. It's not a clean fit, but they aren't always. He has gaps and you need to fill them to get a clearer picture.
What's your probability on him?
I'd like to know more. But I'll say 60%.
Yeah, that's about where I land, too. It was higher before Peabody found the photo of his mother. There's a basic similarity, but the three women look more like each other than they look like her. To my eye, anyway.
He's looking through his own. I have to get back, but I'd like your impressions after you speak to him inside his home.
You'll get them.
Give my best to Rourke.
Yeah, thanks. Distracted, Eve kept scanning the board, waiting for pieces to line up. When they refused, she pulled out her link. Rourke answered himself.
Lieutenant.
Hey, I've got to head out to the field to interview a suspect in about an hour. Some stuff to clean up here first. Interested?
In spending time watching my cop grill a suspect?
Always.
I'm not grilling him.
Yet. Probably.
In any case, I'll meet you in the garage in an hour.
Good. Great. And I'm sort of thinking about talking to you about a real estate deal.
His eyebrows shot up. Now I'm fascinated.
What sort of deal?
We'll talk about it.
And thanks for the list.
My pleasure.
An hour.
An hour, she thought, as she pocketed the link. Time enough to clear her head and work on how to handle James Mosby.
It took just over that hour for Eve to finish up, and when she scanned her desk for the last time, she compared it with Covino's pristine workstation.
Show off, Eve muttered, then grabbed her file bag and jacket.
She shrugged into the jacket as she walked. She spotted Santiago and Carmichael in a huddle at Carmichael's desk, either working the jumper throwee case or debating where to grab an after-tour brew. Either way, Eve kept going. She was already late.
With that in mind, she ignored the elevators. Cops coming on, cops heading home, or like her, back into the field, meant packed cars and stops on every damn floor. She took the glides, jogging down when she hit a clear stretch, then hit the stairs down to her level. Rourke leaned against her ride, fiddling with something on his PPC. Possibly buying one of those rings of Saturn. Sorry, took me longer. He slid the device back in his pocket. I occupied myself well enough. He lifted a hand to stroke her cheek.
You look harried, Lieutenant.
Maybe a little. I feel like we moved a few steps closer, but it's not close enough. You drive, okay? She climbed in the passenger seat, programmed Mosby's address.
Not far, I see.
No, not far. Mosby James, Mary Kate Covino's supervisor and so-called mentor. She's been missing since June 3rd. She gave him the basics as he maneuvered through downtown traffic.
So she makes three, and this Mosby fits your profile.
Most of it. His place is on your list. They're in this area, Hobe and Covino. I know it. If you can't find a street spot, she broke off when he hit vertical, did a neat airborne 180, and dropped into a stingy spot between a Mini and a glossy sedan.
Nice.
Why does Peabody always go glassy-eyed when I do that?
I couldn't say.
He patted her hand before they slid out. He'll be a half block down. And now took her hand.
Lovely evening for a walk.
If he's not home, we'll canvass the neighborhood, so that'll be a walk. Not so many tourists on this stretch, she noted. Mostly the after-work crowd heading home. Almost all residential. Pretty townhomes all in a row. Some with window boxes or pots of flowers, some with fancy grids on the windows. Mosby's didn't particularly stand out. He had flowers, a lot of purple and red and trailing green spilling out of window boxes that gleamed copper. The whitewashed brick had a soft look, offset by a bold red door and a stylized copper heart as a door knocker. Palm plate, code scanner, cam, solid locks. One-way glass on the windows. He can see out, you can't see in. She stepped onto the stoop, one painted to resemble a mat. The scrolled red letters read, "Always welcome."
We'll see about that, she grumbled and pressed the bell.
He's got a full basement under here, corner lot. And from the windows, he could actually have watched Elder walk to work. He could have watched her from the comfort of his own home.
You're leaning heavily in his direction.
The house, the location, those pieces fit clean and snug. I'm looking at the setup here and I'm leaning. Mosby opened the door. He still wore his baggy jeans and polo, but it changed into house skids. Hope shined from his face.
Lieutenant, you found Mary Kate.
No, Mr. Mosby. We're actively looking. We'd like to come in for a few minutes. I have some follow-up questions. Even as the hope dimmed, he stepped back.
Of course, please.
It's nice to finally meet you. He held out a hand for Rourke's. I've admired your work. And especially the school you've just opened.
Thank you.
Mosby brushed a hand at his flyaway hair. Come in, sit down. Can I get you something to drink?
We're fine, Eve said, and saw why Covino worked well with him.
His living area, both simple and attractive, had nothing out of place. No single man debris, no clutter. A conversation area,
a semicircle sofa in pale gray, a pair of cushy armchairs in a subtle pattern of the same gray with hints of blue, centered around a whitewashed fireplace currently full of flowers and candles. On the slim mantel over it stood more candles, slim white tapers in squat and colorful blown glass holders, a photo in a dark gray leather frame of a man and woman holding hands in front of a white steepled church and some sort of earth-toned pottery vase or urn. A rug that looked old and valuable lay over the polished floors. Mosby gestured to the chairs, then took a seat on the end of the sofa. "I'd so hoped you'd found her. I know how hard you're working to do just that. I hadn't read the ICOVE agenda. So distressing. But after meeting you today, I downloaded it. I've only just begun, really, but I understand you're very good at your work. How can I help?" "You and Mary Kate are close." "Yes, we're a close-knit group at Dowell's. It makes it a pleasure to go to work every day." "And you often took her and others out socially, to celebrate, for instance, a successful campaign." "That's right. Team leaders often do. And we try to gather socially as a full team, the Dowell team." "I wonder if you brought Mary Kate or others to venues here, in this neighborhood, for those social interactions." "Yes, now and then." "Here to your home?" "Yes. No point in having a home you enjoy and not sharing it." Eve took out her link, brought up Elder's photo ID. "Do you know this woman?" He took the link, frowned over it a moment, then let out a gasp. "This is the young woman who was killed. I saw the reports, saw this photo. It was so upsetting, I turned it off." "Have you ever seen her before the reports?"
"I don't think so."
"Have you ever been in Arnold's? It's a bar in the neighborhood."
"Yes, I know it.
A few times, but it's a little stiff, I want to say." Eve took the link back, brought up Hobe. "How about this woman?"
"I don't know that I've..."
"Oh, yes, yes, I recognize her. Mike's place, such a good voice. Annie?
Anna.
That's it. I've dragged a lot of people onto the stage at Mike's." He smiled at the thought. "That isn't a stiff sort of place, and more the sort I'd take a team for fun."
"Anna Hobe has been missing for 7 days."
"What?" He jerked back. "No! Like Mary Kate?"
"You haven't been in Mike's in the last week?"
"No, no, not for a couple of weeks at least.
We were working on the campaign, and I brought work home."
"What does this mean?"
"The first girl..."
His color went nearly as gray as his hair.
"Oh my God! You think that could happen to Mary Kate?"
"All three of these women live within blocks of here. You've lived here for a number of years. I'm sure people are used to seeing you. Think nothing of it. You have a nice view of the street from those windows." He still held the link, and his hand shook as he stared at her.
"You think I? I'm a suspect? Why would I? I could never. I need a glass of water.
Why don't I get that for you?" Rourke rose.
Thank you. The kitchen...
I'll find it." Mosby closed his eyes when Rourke walked away. His rapid breathing worried Eve a little. She sure as hell didn't need a panic attack or a heart event on her hands. "I've never hurt another person in my life." Mosby hitched in a couple more breaths, let them out. "I avoid conflicts, to be honest, and hard news when possible.
I would never harm Mary Kate. I love her.
Tell me about your mother. His eyes popped open.
My mother?
Yes. She died last February after a long, difficult illness. I don't understand what
you loved her, too.
Of course, she was my mother. She lived with you here for several years.
Yes, I convinced her to come to New York and live with me after my father died.
I don't know what this has to do with anything, but if it somehow helps, you left home fairly young, and there are some gaps in the first couple of years after you came to New York. Can you fill those in?
He closed his eyes again. We can never escape them, can we? Never really escape the sins of the past.
He looked at Eve again, and she saw sorrow, not guilt. Not fear. He shifted when Rourke came back with a glass of water. Taking it, he handed Rourke Eve's link. He drank slowly before setting the glass down on the table.
I'm gay, he said simply.
Okay, that has no bearing on you wanted the gaps filled. It's unremarkable to you, my sexual orientation. But it was anything but when I was growing up, a PK in rural Kentucky.
PK?
Preacher's kid.
All those years ago, Lieutenant, if you know anything of history, you understand homosexuality wasn't widely accepted. In that time, in that place, I was an aberration, a sin, a freak. I stayed closeted, my shame, my instinct to avoid confrontations. When I finally screwed up the courage to tell my parents, they were shocked, hurt, and couldn't accept me or support me. My father, he glanced toward the photo on the mantel. He said harsh things. It was a shameful, painful experience. But not all that atypical of those times. I left home with that shame and pain inside me. I had a little money, thanks to my grandparents, maternal, who were able to accept and support. I came to New York, my vision of the polar opposite of where I grew up. The money didn't last long. I was angry, desperate, determined never to return home. He picked up his glass again, drank some more. I met a man, a wealthy, influential man with many contacts. He ran, we'll call it an escort service. I hope the statute of limitations on such things has run its course, as I don't want to go to prison for things I did so long ago. I've got no interest in charging you with prostitution, which is regulated and legal now. It wasn't then.
He smiled a little. I was very good looking, and my inexperience actually worked in my favor. I made a great deal of money, and there was enough PK in me that I was frugal with it. I avoided drugs. Drank rarely and always in moderation. He paused to drink more water and, to Eve's eye, steady himself again. I learned my grandfather had died a week after his funeral and that he had left me money and a request that I use it to better myself. He set the glass back down. I loved my grandparents. And he died without me being there. They'd stood by me when no one else had. My grandfather made one request of me. He and my grandmother never judged me, and he'd made that one request.
You enrolled in college.
I did. It occurred to me that I'd been marketing myself and very well, so I aimed there. I got out of the life and got an education. When I graduated, I went home. I didn't intend to see my parents, but I wanted to visit my grandfather's grave. I even took my diploma to, well, to show him. My mother found me there. A small community, Lieutenant. Someone saw me, recognized me, told her, and she came. She hugged me, and she wept. And she asked for my forgiveness. When his eyes filled, Mosby pressed his fingers to them. I can't tell you what that meant to me. She asked me to come with her, talk to my father. It was harder for him, but we reconciled. We made peace with each other. When he got sick, I went home to help. And we found something more than peace. We found family again. When he died, I was with him, as I'd been with my grandmother when her time came. She, my grandmother, left me everything, the house and land, her life insurance, everything. So when my father died and I convinced my mother to come live with me, I used the money I'd saved, money given to me, to make her a place where she could be comfortable, where we could be family, where I could take care of her. You gave her a home, Rourke said, here, with you. Yes. And she enjoyed the city more than either of us expected. The arts, the restaurants, the parks, the pace. Until she became ill. Once again, he looked at the photo above the fireplace. It was slow at first. It's a creeping, vicious disease. When I couldn't care for her any longer. Her mind. It's so cruel when the mind fails before the body. I couldn't care for her any longer. I found a place that could and would care with compassion. I was with her when she died, but she didn't know me. He pressed his lips together. She hadn't known me for the last 8 years of her life. That must have been painful. I think of the day she came to my grandfather's grave and put her arms around me. I think of evenings we shared, before her mind betrayed her, playing gin rummy, her telling me stories of her misspent youth, as she called it. Stories about my father, my grandparents, the Christmases we shared, and the dinner parties we hosted. I have good memories. Eve brought another picture up on her link, handed it to Mosby. He looked baffled for a moment, then simply delighted. Is this my mother? It's Mom! Oh my God, it's a mugshot! More tears spilled as he laughed. She told me, but I didn't actually believe. She was a preacher's wife and a good one. Not stiff-necked. Not, well, preachy, but a good one. She changed her life. She bettered herself. But look at her here, so young, so screwed up, so pissed off. Could we look around your house, Mr. Mosby? You want to... Oh, search more than look around. You have to be sure. I'll give you a tour and you can look wherever you like. You can go through my electronics if that's helpful, or anything else. He rose. I'd like to ask a favor when you're sure. What's the favor? Could I have a copy of that photo of my mother? I know it's a strange request, a mugshot, but it's a moment in time. I didn't believe her when she'd said she'd been arrested and why. And that made her change her life. Now I do, and I'd like that moment in time. When I'm sure, Eve told him, I'll get you a copy. 13. Rourke waited until they'd reached the sidewalk, started down it, then slid an arm around Eve's waist. It's understandable you're disappointed. That's not really the word. Well, okay, I'm disappointed we didn't find Hope and Covino in the basement so we could get them out. I'm not disappointed Jim Mosby isn't a whacked-out mommy-freak killer. He strikes me as a very good man. One still carrying some of the scars from the era and its mores when he grew up. Yeah, strikes me the same. Why in hell did some people get so bent because somebody fell for, wanted to marry, or just wanted to bang somebody with the same body parts? Some always have and always will find ways to be intolerant of what they consider other or outside their version of the norm. Well, the world would be better off if more people minded their own business instead of trying to run other people's lives. Anyway, she shook it off. Eliminating Mosby's another step, but it doesn't get me closer to finding those two women. When he nudged her along, she looked over at him. Did you forget where you parked? I didn't, no. We're walking on a very nice evening on the edge between spring and summer. It occurs to me, Mosby came to New York all those years ago for much the same reasons you and I did. We were all bearing scars and all came here to find our place. Down there? She gestured down the side street. That was Elder's place. Now the guy who loved her lives alone. Hope, down that way. Covino, up and over that way. Hope, no real close family ties, and she liked living alone. Opposite for Covino. But they intersect, those three women. Probably passed each other on the street more than once. Maybe waited online at the same time in some shop. Now two of them, unless I'm way off the mark, are being held in the same place by the same man for the same reason. You're not off the mark. He steered her around the corner, kept going. We might run into Jenkinson and Reinecke, Eve speculated, as people bustled by, heading home, heading to dinner, heading to one more shop. Maybe they'll get a hit. Peabody and McNabb are going to do canvases, so... She trailed off when she registered where they were. A few steps from the pizza joint, the one where she'd had her first slice on her first day in New York. You're always thinking, she murmured. Of you. He brushed a kiss over the top of her head. We'll have ourselves a meal. A carafe of wine and some downtime. And when we get home, you can update your board and book. Instead of turning to the door, she turned into him. Thanks. And kissed him. Thank you. She walked into the scents. Yeast and sauce and spices and grilled meat. The noise of voices. A squeal from some kid. The clatter of dishes, and felt the tension melt from the back of her neck. A waitress hustled right up to them. Hi, good to see you again. Your booth's ready. You called ahead. Always thinking, he answered, as they slid across from each other into the booth. Do you need a menu? Nope. Large pie, pepperoni, Eve said to the waitress. Large? Eve smiled at Rourke. Did you want one too? He smiled back. A carafe of the house red, a bottle of sparkling water. Get that going for you. As the waitress hurried away, Rourke leaned over, took both Eve's hands. Now, tell me, as I remain fascinated, about this real estate deal. She laughed. Just a wild hair. That includes three words I'm very fond of. Real estate and deal. Okay, well, there's this building. She rattled off the address. You don't already own it. I checked. All right, then. Should I? Commercial, street level. Slick bar and a Tony-looking salon. Apartments above. 8 units a level, 6 levels. Square footage, exterior material, original build date and dates of major rehabs.
Well, geez, if you're gonna have all kinds of questions.
There are countless more, but I can find the answers. The waitress came back with the water, the wine, glasses, poured both.
Brick, Eve said as she picked up her wine. Brick, and it looked pre-urban to me.
Crappy security on the apartment entry door. Crap elevator. Single. Decent soundproofing. That's all I got.
I'll get the rest. After you tell me why this property interests you.
She sat back, gestured with the wine. I thought about how if you bought it, you could kick out the fuckhead who owns the bar and lives above it.
Could I?
Amused, Rourke gestured back at her.
Has he committed a crime?
If being a fuckhead was a crime, I'd have to lock up half of New York and occasionally arrest myself.
He's Covino's ex-boyfriend, except he only qualified on the boyfriend scale in her mind. He's a smarmy, it's the word, womanizing, self-important fuckhead.
Ah, you said she'd planned a trip, and the boyfriend, such as he was, cancelled on the night she was taken.
This would be that fuckhead.
The very same. I really wanted to look at him, but he's covered, as he was working in the bar until 2. Plus, he's too busy looking for the next quick bang to bother with Covino. And he doesn't care enough about anybody but himself to go to all this trouble.
So, not a suspect.
No. I brought her suitcase into evidence.
She'd packed all these girly beach clothes and sexy stuff. A bottle of sparkling wine, those little candles, she added, making a circle with her thumb and index finger.
It makes you sad.
Maybe.
Some.
Everyone says she's smart, stable, sensible.
She wasn't about him.
She's not the first to go off the tracks over some asshole with a good line and a pretty face.
When Rourke grinned and laughed, she shook her head.
You're hardly ever an asshole.
Flattery like that will get you a pepperoni pizza.
And he'd timed that comment perfectly, Eve noted, as the waitress set the pizza on the table rack. She set out the plates, topped off their water glasses.
Enjoy, and let me know if you need anything else.
Rourke slid a slice onto a plate, passed it to Eve, then took one for himself.
This is the hardest part, Eve said. Waiting for it to cool enough so you don't burn off the roof of your mouth.
She glanced around. The first time I came in here, sat at the counter in front of the window, everything was new, and everything was possible. I was free, and I was going to the academy, and I was going to be a damn good cop.
And so you are, a damn good cop.
Never figured on you.
What I got there was a damn big bonus.
She picked up her slice, calculated she had about 20 more seconds left to avoid a scorched mouth.
So did Mavis's place pass the inspection deal?
What? She demanded when he cocked his head.
I pay attention.
More than many realize.
It did, yes, and so the walls are going up. The landscape crew started some of the plantings, though the new owners and tenants want to do considerable themselves. And Peabody sent me very impressive, detailed plans for a water feature, asked about ordering the stone and pump and so on for it. She intends to build it as a thank you to Mavis and Leonardo.
She's really gonna do that waterfall thing? Apparently. The design's creative and flawless.
I pay one visit to a retiring mob boss, and my partner's replicating his waterfall thing. And you're buying his construction business.
She tried a bite, let that warm, delicious comfort fill her senses. Perfect, she said, and took another.
When they got home, Somerset waited. Did you enjoy your evening out?
Judge for yourself.
Rourke handed him a small takeout box. A midnight snack for you, and you'll find it well worth it.
Thank you. I'm sure I will.
Since Galahad reared up to sniff at the box, Somerset looked down.
You've had your meal, but perhaps someone will find a small treat for you in a bit.
Too blissed on pizza to take a swipe, Eve just headed upstairs. Bored and booked, she thought. Coffee and a write-up of the interview with Mosby. She'd check in with her detectives. A hit meant they'd check in with her, but she'd still tag them. As she updated the board, the cat wound between her legs. She crouched down to give him a rub, and the bite of pizza she'd folded into a napkin in her pocket.
That's all you get.
When Rourke came in 20 minutes later, suit replaced by jeans and a t-shirt, she'd moved from board to book. Elder's the only one who belonged to a gym, Eve began. They didn't go to the same salon, use the same bank, medical provider, and no cross in circle of friends, I've found. Yet when you showed the photos to our waitress, and she called others over, the staff recognized Elder and Covino and believed they recognized Hobe. Good pizza gets a rep in a neighborhood. There'll be other places they cross. I still think he lives in the neighborhood, or close. I think that's going to pay off. But he may have seen them elsewhere. She swiveled in her chair. The thing is, Covino didn't work in the neighborhood, so she probably used some shops in her work area. I found her market, where she bought her flowers, but they didn't recognize the other women. She pushed at her hair. I'm going back to the makeup. A lot of damn makeup. I'm going to say the T word. Eve shook her head. It's not high dollar stuff. It's stuff you buy in the drugstore. Trina would look down her nose. Anyway, how did he learn how to apply it? So exactly. Did he practice? Does he work in that area? Theater? Entertainment? What about the top from the Nashville store you told me about? Yeah, that. Can't track it down. We wound back to vintage shops again, but... Finished the thought. Knowing her, he programmed coffee for both of them. He didn't plan this yesterday, right? Nor a week from yesterday. Weeks, at least, and more like months. So I don't think he bought all the clothes, the makeup, the damn shackles right before he grabbed Elder. Rourke handed her coffee, sat at her auxiliary station. For a few days, he had three women. Yeah, thought about that, too, and it weighs on me. Now he has two. Does he need the three? Is he gonna grab somebody tonight? I've got extra patrols in the area tonight in case, but I can't keep that up indefinitely. She blew out a breath. Otherwise, holding three women, feeding them, toilet facilities. She pushed up to pace. McQueen, he held more at a time, but he didn't give a rat's ass about feeding them. It was the having them, then raping them, then killing them. This one had another purpose. Does he keep them together or separate them?
McQueen kept them together, chained up, desperate, terrified. But this is different. Around and around the board. He can't keep them together.
How could he maintain the illusion any one of them is his mother or will become her if they're together, if they talk to each other?
He has to keep them separate, has to keep a wall between them, for him.
Has to have a big enough space.
She turned back. Good job, pointing me at another angle. Maybe a big basement. Maybe he keeps them on separate floors. But he's got to have those toilets. You can't keep three people chained up for days and days and not provide a John. Who wants to clean up the mess? And he likes things clean. Elder was clean. Body, hair, nails, the clothes, all perfectly clean.
She wound around again. No signs of dehydration with Elder. She'd had a good last meal. Eat, drink, you gotta eliminate.
She sat again, planning. He took the three too close together not to have planned for at least three. Maybe he had to have those toilets installed. Yeah, he could have had them already. Hell, he could keep one of them locked up in a bathroom, as long as there's no window. But I can do some digging on permits. The house is on the list. Additional plumbing in the last, what would you like, 12 months? Yeah, that's a good one. That's a solid maybe. I'll just do that here, then.
She picked up the coffee she'd forgotten.
He's two people, she said aloud.
You think two are working together?
No, not like that. He's two people inside one man. The planner, the calculating adult, and the needy, angry child. Both of them are killers. Both of them are crazy. But the adult maintains. He can contain. He can look and act sane. He'd have to, wouldn't he?
She kicked back, put her boots on the counter.
Yeah, he would. Eccentric at worst, people would think. But not overly, because nobody notices him.
Does that piss him off? Or is that how he likes it?
She saw Rourke watching her.
What?
Sorry, just thinking out loud. And it's fascinating. You're building him. A potential him. Just more maybes. Don't stop on my account. Keep building.
Well, if he's somewhere in his 60s or 70s, as we profile, we'd say he has the maturity of his age and experience. But that inner brat's all impulse and rage. Plenty of rage in the man, too, because he doesn't have what he wants, because he's been disappointed, maybe mistreated, probably mistreated. But he's got that control. Studying the board, she let it come. Mosby was let down. And damn well mistreated. He escaped, with plenty of anger, but he had the grandparents. And without that better yourself message, he may have kept going down a hard road. When his mother asked for forgiveness, he gave it. And the years after, reforming his family. This guy doesn't have any of that in him. When I saw Stella, recognized her?
Eve.
No guilt here. I would never have forgiven her and never have reconnected. But I didn't wish her dead. I live with death, work with it, and I don't wish it on anybody. This guy? He has to kill. He kills what disappoints him again.
She tilted her head. Narrowed her eyes. He sees,
He imagines and needs, so he plans. Every step. It takes time and patience, and money, too. He has to make an investment. He watches, waits, and he takes. She sipped coffee. He doesn't physically or sexually assault. That would be disrespectful, unseemly. They must beg him to let them go. It's human nature. And that's gonna piss him off. Why? A mother wants to be with her child. This hurts his feelings. But he doesn't strike out at them. It's why he needs more than one. One of them will understand. One of them will become and stay and love him. He can make them like her, physically, Rourke put in. The tattoo, the piercings. That's right, and that's important. But he can't change who they are or make them who they aren't. So he'll end up disappointed again. She shifted her gaze from the board to his. But under it all, Rourke, he doesn't forgive her for what she did or what he perceives she did. So he'll kill her and go on killing her. You'll find him. You'll stop him. We'll find him. We'll stop him. I just don't know if we will in time to save those two women on the board. She worked and touched base with Peabody, with Reinecke. When Rourke found a house on his list with a permit for rehabbing a laundry area, adding a bathroom, she passed it to Reinecke and Jenkinson. We'd never get a search warrant. Way too thin, she told Rourke. But we can see how the occupant reacts when asked if a couple of cops can take a look at their basement. At this time of night, said occupant may be less than hospitable. She frowned at her wrist unit. It's not that late. It's not even really 2300. It's 10 past that. See, not even barely there. And I told them this is the last one tonight. They can hit the others tomorrow. They got to a solid third of the list tonight. She rose, walked to the board one more time. If none of those properties pan out, we'll have to widen the area. I'm not wrong about the damn house. Okay, what if he has the place, but he didn't put it in his name? Maybe the mother's name, or a family name, a place name, a combo. I'll agree to set up a new search, put it on auto, if you agree to shut it down for the night. I'll shut it down as soon as Reinecke and Jenkinson check back in. Deal. At midnight, because a deal was a damn deal, she slid into bed. I can't believe I'm obsessing about toilets. It's a necessity. Rourke wrapped an arm around her. As the man Jenkinson and Reinecke talked with, who had one installed in the basement he's turned into a media room, understands. I wonder if we should add a media room. I like stretching out on the sofa and watching vids in here. As do I. Which is why I've gone back and forth on the idea. Now, turn off that relentless cop's brain and sleep. In a minute. Or two. If he comes out to hunt tonight, and the patrols spot him, Rourke rolled over on top of her. I see what needs to be done. Sex isn't the solution to everything. But it does solve a multitude of problems. Now quiet down, he said, and closed his mouth over hers. He went the dreamy route. She knew his ways. And they worked. She heard the thump of the cat jumping off the bed, imagined him stalking away in annoyance, then forgot him as the dreamies spread through her. Soft and slow, lazy and sweet, Rourke relaxed her muscle by muscle. He found the places, all the places that needed to melt, the places that wanted to ache. He slid her nightshirt up, inch by inch, over her head and away. And she was away with him, body against body, pulse against pulse, mouth against mouth. He felt her yield, not just to him, but to the moment. The way that relentless cop gave way to the woman who loved. And like her, he yielded to her, to the moment, to the stroke of her hands on his skin, the warmth of her mouth answering his. When he slipped inside her, she was warm and wet, and when she moved under him, he lifted his head to watch her watching him. He whispered to her in Irish, heard her sigh in response. She laid her hand on his cheek, so he turned his head to press his lips to her palm as they moved together. Slow and easy, easy and slow, no hurry, no time, no worry. Even as the need built, as the aches spread, as pulses beat, they clung to the moment, to each other. And they held tight, even when the moment blurred and beyond it. So she slept, and when he knew she did, he joined her. She dreamed, something in the dark, searching in the dark, following voices, crying for help. Whenever she got close, they faded. When she called out to them, they sounded from a different direction. No matter where she looked, she couldn't find them. She woke with a start, her communicator beeping. Crap. Dragging herself out of the dream, she grabbed for the communicator. Block video, she ordered, as Rourke called for lights on at 10%. Dallas. Dispatch, Dallas, Lieutenant Eve. See the officers at 21 Leonard. Possible homicide. Already up and bolting to the closet for clothes, Eve snapped, is the DB female? Affirmative. Copy that. She dragged on trousers. Dallas out. She grabbed for a shirt. Damn it, damn it, damn it. It's gonna be Hobe. He's had her the longest. What the fuck time is it? 4:30. After shoving her feet into boots, she snagged a belt, a jacket. When she came out of the closet with them, a fully dressed Rourke handed her coffee. How do you do that? She gulped down coffee before reaching for her weapon harness. I'll go with you. I'll drive. I don't need you to... I'll go with you, he repeated, and I'll drive, then find my way back. He'd have to, she thought, as the black tee and jeans didn't meet his emperor of the business world standards. And you'll be tagging up Peabody and alerting Morris. Since that's exactly what she planned to do, she didn't argue. He pulled on a black leather jacket. She did the same. At least you can't ding me for wearing black, since you are. She shoved what she needed in her pockets. Damn it, Rourke. He didn't give her the 10 days. The cat jogged down the stairs with them, then made a beeline for Somerset's quarters as they went out the door where her DLE sat waiting. 21 Leonard. Yes, I heard. She hit the lights and sirens. He punched it. As she brought up a map on the dash screen, she tagged Peabody. Peabody, her partner answered with video blocked. Oh, hell, Dallas. 21 Leonard. Female DB. Looks like he went just a little outside the area we'd blocked for the body dump. Get up, get dressed, get there. Got it. On my way. She tagged Morris next. He didn't bother to block video, so in the dim light, she saw him sit up in bed. The sheet, snowy white, covered, barely, anatomical parts she had no business seeing. His sleepy eyes blinked once before he shook back his long, loose hair. Who started off the day dead?
Not sure yet, on my way to find out. But the DB's female, and the area indicates she's going to connect to Elder.
It's him, Morris. I need you to take her.
I'll be waiting for her. Give me the address, and I'll arrange for her transportation when you've finished your on-scene.
Appreciate it. Sorry to call you in so early.
Dead cops, dead docs. Time means nothing to us.
Since he started to toss the sheet back, she signed off quickly. Dallas out. She programmed coffee for both of them as Rourke sped through the city.
I saw Jake Kincaid's bare ass.
I'm sorry, what?
Not on purpose. When Nadine was on tour, I tagged her, and it was that Earth rotation deal wherever she was, so she's in bed, with him. It was when I wanted her to dig on that asshole from Oklahoma, Quirk's battering bastard of an ex. So she doesn't block video, and Jake just gets out of bed, and there's his bare ass as he walks off screen.
All right. It's a damn good ass, okay, but...
And here's Morris. Doesn't block video, and he's clearly naked in bed. And his works are under the sheet he's about to toss off. It's not like he's a flasher perv. He, like Jake, just doesn't think a thing of the naked parts.
Rourke reached over to give her hand a squeeze.
I love the things you find to be a prude over.
I'm not pruding. I mean, Morris has a tat of the Grim Reaper guy on his upper thigh. Should I have that information?
Never mind.
She saw from the map they'd be on scene in minutes. She decided to continue her streak and ordered up the sweepers. Rourke pulled up behind the police cruiser. The uniforms had taped off about 6 feet on either side of the body. One stood with the body, and another sat on a stoop outside the barricade with a male. A teenage male, Eve noted. Eve held up her badge.
Lieutenant, Officer Cotter.
He rose, a hard-packed, mixed-race cop in his mid-50s. And kept one hand on the shoulder of the very pale kid who got shakily to his feet.
This is Kylo Grisham. He discovered the body and called it in.
Kylo gripped a tube of water in both hands.
Am I going to be in trouble?
Did you kill that woman?
His eyes went to bugged-out saucers.
No! Me? No! Holy shit!
Then why would you be in trouble? Eve asked.
Well, because I... Well, okay, I snuck out. See, I live right down there, and I snuck out to, you know, with my girlfriend. Her parents aren't home, right? So, well, you know.
Did you walk by here on the way to your girlfriend's?
Yeah.
What time?
About midnight, I guess.
What time did you leave your girlfriend's?
Right around 4. See, my mom gets up around 5, and she gets my older brother up because they work the early shift. And she, for sure, gives me a quick shake before they leave because school's out and I watch my little brother and all. So I wanted to get back before she got up.
Where's your girlfriend live?
On Duane, right off Broadway. She's not supposed to have anybody over when her parents aren't home, but we, well,
I follow, Kylo.
See, I don't want to get her in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble either, right? But when I saw the lady...
His eyes had stopped bugging out, but he continued to vibrate like a plucked string.
You were walking home from your girlfriend's and saw the body?
Yeah. Yeah, see, I was walking, and I thought, at first, I thought she was just a, you know, a sidewalk sleeper. But she didn't look like it in the clothes she has on. And I thought maybe she was just passed out drunk or stoned. But she didn't look right. She was just staring and staring, and I thought, oh, shit, she's, like, dead. He squeezed the tube so hard, Eve prepared for it to pop. I was just gonna run, you know. I even started to, but...
You did the right thing. I guess. You did the right thing, Kylo.
Did you touch the body?
Oh, man, no. Negativo plus.
Eve checked her wrist unit. Your mom's gonna be up by now. If I were you, I'd tell her exactly what happened.
She's gonna ground me for a month.
Maybe. Eve dug out a card. You give this to her and tell her I'll be contacting her to congratulate her for raising a son who does the right thing. His eyes bugged again, but in shocked joy.
You will? Serious?
I will. He smiled a little. She'll really and totally lap that one up.
Thanks.
Go home. We'll be in touch. And thank you for your cooperation. Officer, why don't you walk Kylo the rest of the way home?
Yes, sir. Let's go, Kylo.
Eve looked away from them and toward the body. She took the field kit Rourke handed her and ducked under the tape. 14. She looked down at Anna Hobe. You called me in the dark, I think. And I think some part of me knew I wouldn't find you in time. She turned to the female uniform with her cap squared away over a bowl cut that reminded Eve of how Peabody had worn her hair back in her uniform days.
Officer.
Pinsky, Lieutenant. We got the call from dispatch at 0419 and responded. Sir, we were part of the patrol in your investigation, but this was about a block out of the sector.
I'm aware.
Yes, sir. When we arrived, approximately 2 minutes later, the witness was sitting on the curb there, head between his knees. He was shook up, Lieutenant, and my partner stayed with him while I verified we had a DB. We secured the scene and called it in.
Anyone else around?
No, sir.
Okay.
When your partner returns, start knocking on doors.
Yes, sir.
Eve glanced up at the sign over the steel-gated entrance. Exploration Station.
Pinsky, do you know this place?
Yes, sure. It's a hands-on educational complex for kids. Toddlers to teens. Fun place. My kids like it.
Thanks.
Opening her field kit, she looked back at Rourke.
It's Hobe.
Yes. And, in a way, another playground. She sealed up and stepped to the body. He'd laid his second victim out as he had his first, this time in the wide doorway. He'd styled the hair, made up the face much as he had the first, but Eve saw some subtle differences. Different shades on the eyes, the lips. He dressed her in a skirt, very short, denim, with flowers running down one side. Low on the waist again, Eve noted, to show off the bright red ball in her navel. The shirt, also red, left her shoulders bare and ended just under her breasts. He'd gone for heels again, red ones this time, with pointed open toes. He'd chosen a dark blue, nearly black, for the polish. He'd printed his message in red crayon on white construction paper. Bad Mommy. She heard Peabody's fast walking and McNabb's quick bounce down the sidewalk and Rourke's greeting to them. Eve crouched down, took out her identipad to take the print and officially make the ID. Victim is Hobe, Anna. Female, Caucasian, age 24. Reported missing on June 1. Peabody crouched behind her.
Seal up, Peabody.
I did.
Eve bagged the sign. Check under the neck ribbon. Eve got out her gauges.
Throat slit and sewed. Precise stitches.
It looks like the same thread, same type of ribbon used on Elder. Lab to confirm. With flat voices, efficient moves, they did the work. TOD 2046. Contusions and lacerations, right wrist and left ankle, indicate the victim was restrained. She leaned down close. Perfume. Same scent he used on Elder. Though sure of it, she took a sample. Navel piercing, the multiple ear piercings the same as Elder. The body's clean. No signs of other offensive or defensive wounds. Let's roll her, Peabody. When they had, Eve studied the butterfly, wings spread over the small of the back. Same tat, same precise work. But she ran a sealed finger over the image. It's still a little, what, scabby. Not as much healing time as Elder's. She shifted to take a look at the neck wound herself. Angles different. You see that? The angles from behind. Eve took a fistful of Peabody's hair, pulled her head back, mimed slitting her throat with the other hand. Not an impulse this time, if the first one was, but this wasn't. Planned, from behind. See how it goes up at this end? I do now. Not arguing, not face to face. Come up from behind, yank her head up to give you a clear target, swipe. He was done with her. Knew he was done with her. He's either grabbed another we don't know about yet, or Covino's working out so far. Maybe both. I think there's more bruising, deeper lacerations on her wrist than on Elder. Yes, there is. Why do you think? Maybe she struggled more. I think... Peabody took micro goggles out of her field bag. It looks to me like the more are fresher. Like she started struggling more in the last day or so. Why do you think? Peabody sat back on her heels. She might have figured out she wasn't getting out alive unless she got herself out. That... Or she and Covino figured how to communicate. Hope tends to make you fight harder. Or she saw some way to get out. Could be any or all of that. Should I contact the morgue, the sweepers? I did on the way here. Gave Morris the heads up. See this? The skirt, the shoes? Just a little big on her, where the jeans and the shoes were a little snug on Elder. He gets close, though. He gets close. Stay with her. I need to go have a word with the mother of the 911 caller. Lives right down there. Okay. His mother? He's about 16. Snuck out to have a bang-o-rama with his girlfriend, but he called it in and stayed with her, so I'm gonna have a word with his mother. She rose and spotted McNabb and Rourke leaning against her ride, drinking coffee. Dallas, I'm here to serve. No ease on her, she told McNabb as she locked her field kit in the trunk. There's a door, Cam, but he's going to be smart enough to have jammed it. Still, get whoever runs this place down here to open up and let you check the feed. You got it. I need to talk to the Witt's mother a minute. Rourke pushed off the car. I'll walk down with you. He didn't take her hand for comfort. She wouldn't want it. But as they walked down the block, he glanced down at her. Is there a point in me reminding you that you did all you could? Wasn't enough. She shook her head. And I know doing all you can isn't always enough. Can't be. I just feel I went in the wrong direction with Mosby and ate up that time. You didn't. You eliminated him as you needed to.